So again, Hag Sukkot Sameach. Happy Sukkot. Happy Sukkot. Today I want to talk about the holiday and its prophetic meaning for us as a congregation, as a mishpacha. Let us read Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33, 34, and verse 42. And yeah, all our old schoolers, I will wait for you to open this place. Yeah, everybody who has this kind of Bible, you need to turn it on. It's, yeah. You don't have a button here, yeah? Just push it and it's open. Okay. Leviticus 23, verse 33. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, and this is a very important statement. Adonai spoke to Moses. It is from the Lord to Moses and through Moses to us. This is Lord's word. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Bnei Israel and say, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the feast of Sukkot for 7 days to Adonai. And verse 42. You are to live in Sukkot for 7 days. All the native born in Israel are to live in Sukkot. It is a commandment to us. Sukkot translated into English as Feast of Tabernacles. It is a biblical Jewish holiday celebrated on the 15th day of Tishrei, and it is one of three great festivals, Shalosh HaRegalim, are three major festivals in Judaism. First one, Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, Feast, Weeks of Pentecost, and Sukkot, Tabernacles. When the ancient Israelites would make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem, as commanded by the Torah. The main traditions on Sukkot are, first one, building of Sukkah. The second one, Hashanot, special Sukkot prayers, Ushpizin, invitation of guests, and pouring of water, water libation. This great holiday has several significant meanings, I believe important meanings. First one, this holiday is our people's memory of 40 years in the wilderness when the Israelites lived in the booths for 40 years. So I have a question. How many rooms do you have in your booth? Some have 5, some have 6, some have 10. Yeah, but they had only one room. Can you imagine 40 years and only booth? Leviticus 23:43. So that your generations may know that I had Bnei Israel to dwell in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I'm Adonai your God. So we need to remember the time, that 40 years in the wilderness. Ina and I try to build a sukkah in our yard every year whenever it is possible. According to tradition, the sukkah roof should be built so that the sky can be seen through it during the day and the stars at night. It is a tradition. For me, one of the most exciting moments of Sukkot is when in the evening, when I am in the sukkah by myself, I can look at the stars and thank God for the life He has given me, for His love, for His support and mercy in my life. It is one of the best moments of Sukkot. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have together. In these moments in the Sukkah, we can feel the legacy of thousands of years in the ancient biblical Jewish holiday. It is thousands of years of legacy. We can understand the way our ancestors felt in the desert, even a little bit. We can feel it. Therefore, this holiday helps us to feel the deep inner connection between generations of people connected by faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let's imagine for a moment. Let's imagine for a moment. What awe and joy filled the heart of a believing Jew in the desert when he was far from his Egyptian home and his ordinary life. Amid difficult trials, he could raise his eyes to the sky and see the visible presence of the Lord in the wilderness for 40 years, every night. Such a wonderful picture. During the day, he could see a pillar of cloud that covered the entire camp of the Israelites and kept them from the unbearable heat in the desert. It was every day for 40 years. And at night, a pillar of flame emanating from the tabernacle of Moses, which is the tent of meeting, warmed the whole camp on cold desert night. And imagine how tangible the power and presence of the Lord was in that place at that time. Hebrew word kavod, the weight of the Lord was there constantly for 40 years. His presence became what they needed him to be to get them through this difficult time in the wilderness. All the Israelites and the nations surrounded them believed in the existence of God because he was there. It wasn't a question for them. His power and glory were visible for everyone. You can't say the Lord is not existent. You need to just open your eyes and look. He's there. Try to say that he is not there. He's there. His power was visible to everyone. Even a blind man could feel the fire of the Lord. Unfortunately, very few people obeyed him. Today, you and I cannot see what our forefathers saw in the desert with our own physical eyes. But we can imagine this picture with our inner spiritual eyes of faith and relive this moment again and again and again every year in the Sukkah. Therefore, Sukkot is a very personal and important holiday to me. I love this holiday. How blessed we are that we can be part of the Jewish Messianic society, remember the ancient heritage of our people, and at the same time see the prophetic fulfillment of the Sukkot through Yeshua, our Messiah. Therefore, the Sukkot is the annual reminder of God's presence in our lives, the moment when we have the opportunity to feel the kavod, the glory, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when you celebrate Sukkot, think about it. It's not just a tradition. It is a beautiful tradition, but it is also meaningful tradition. You can find the Lord in your Sukkah. You can talk to Him. You can feel His presence. You can relive this time again and again. And I know very important truth. The Lord is here today, right in the midst of your life. He's with you. Even in difficult time, He's with you. And the Lord will also be whatever you need Him to be to get you through your own difficulties. He's there for you. He's here for you right now. And you know His promise. When two or three of you gather together, Yeshua promised that He is with us. And I can tell you, His presence is here. You can feel His presence. Just submit yourself. Say, Lord, I'm here for You. You're my master. You're everything to me. Holy Spirit, fill me. He is always enough. He is always enough. He is a great God. Therefore, the second meaning of Sukkot reminds us that we are temporary, mortal, weak, and need the Lord, all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And for all our old schoolers, I will wait for a second. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if the tent, the sukkah, the booth, our earthly home is torn down, we have a building from God, a home not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. What a news for us. No matter how strong and healthy you are, please remember that your body is just a booth, a temporary sukkah. It is a temporary sukkah. Today it can be healthy, and tomorrow it may be broken or destroyed by the winds of this life. The past year has reminded us of this truth as never before. We have lost our dear brothers Claude and Tom, and many others who are now in the heavenly dwelling, seeing the glory of the Lord in the New Jerusalem. It is a reminder for us. Therefore, remember, we are temporary on this earth, and the Lord is eternal. He is eternal. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. 2 Peter 3, 12 through 13. And please remember this. This is about today. This is about today. In the day the heavens will be dissolved by fire. This is the word of the Lord. And the elements will melt in the intense heat. But in keeping with his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth where righteous dwells. He promised us in his promise. As it was in the days when our people traveled in the wilderness for 40 years, the only safe place was in the God's presence, near the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of Moses, in the cloud and flame of the Lord. That was only safe place. Remember what happened to those who dared to flee to Egypt or assimilate with the people around them. They all died. They were all overwhelmed by the enemies of the Jewish people, an enemy who has only one primary purpose in life: to kill and destroy the memory of the Jews and the God of Israel. So do not turn back to the Lord. Do not go back to Egypt. Go with the Lord. The same is today. The only refuge for us is in the presence of God. Our lives must be hidden in the Messiah. So let us say together, my life is hidden in the Messiah. Okay, one of my favorite places of Scripture. Colossians 3:3. And it is for all of you who are going through difficult time right now. Colossians 3:3. It is a promise. For you have died already died for your sins, for your old life, for condemnation from Satan. You have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Your life is hidden with the Messiah. I like these words. We are hidden with Messiah in God. It is the revelation about the perfect atonement, the righteousness of Messiah on those who have accepted saving faith in Yeshua. You already have died with Yeshua and hidden from this world. You and I are hidden with Yeshua in God. Yeshua is our redemption and our shield from the wrath of God. He is our protection from all the powers of darkness. And he is our justification and our shalom. And please remember, please remember, we have nothing to fear and be ashamed of because we are in our Messiah. Not be ashamed of your faith. Not be ashamed of your trust to the Lord. And not be afraid. You're hidden. Your life is hidden with the Messiah. Therefore, the third meaning of Sukkot teaches us to live in another dimension. Live by faith. I want to read Romans chapter 1, verse, 17. It is in the righteousness of God is revealed from trust to trust. Let us say from trust to trust. It is our life. From trust to trust. We can grow in trust to the Lord. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith, by emunah. Shall live by faith. Although the people of Israel walked in the wilderness, at the same time they walked by faith. And they were chosen to follow the Lord, to trust Him, not to live like other peoples on the earth, to be and to live for Him. Therefore, you and I are called to spiritual awakening when the Lord and His reality are more important than everything around us. He's the more important for us. The desire to fulfill His calling should dominate in all the actions of our lives. This is how it's supposed to be. Righteous live by faith. If you're not there yet, you're welcome to participate. You're called to live by faith. From trust to trust. Amen. A huge problem today is carnal Christianity. Carnal. I even can spell this bad word, carnal. It is when people who call themselves the children of God live just like the rest of the world. Carnal. Do not even say this word to me. I don't like this word. It is a huge problem for people who believe in the Lord to live like that. Dear friends, we should not be afraid of what nations around us are so scared of. We should not plunge into quarrels and arguments concerning the things of this world. It is not our way to go. From faith to faith, righteous one lives by emunah. Our values are the values of the Scripture. Our lives are the lives of the Lord's servants. And only the will of God is our guide. Thank you, Sean. I know about you. I love Sean. He's so special. Thank you, Sean. Wake up. Wake up. It is Sukkot. I'm not literally right now. You can be peaceful right now. But wake up in your spirit. Remember who you are, what you are called to do, and who you should be afraid of. Always keep in your memory. One of the great examples we can find in the Bible in the story of the revival of the Jewish people during the time of Nehemiah. I love the book of Nehemiah. It was a tough time when the Jewish people were in a difficult spiritual condition because they disobeyed the Lord and His word. That was the time of their spiritual death when the first temple was destroyed and the Israelites were taken captive and scattered among other nations. The Lord prompted Nehemiah to restore Jerusalem, minister to the Lord, and bring revival and restoration to the Jewish people. At the first thing after Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, he understood, and please, it is an important place here, he understood that without faith, without spirituality, the Jewish people would never be safe and would never be fully restored. It was his understanding from the Lord. And it all started with the Torah, with the Word of God, with serving God. Nehemiah chapter 7. And remember, last time I promised you no more than 20 places of Scripture. No promise for today. No promise. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. After the wall had been rebuilt, the doors set up, and the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites appointed. The first thing, Levites, singers, doorkeepers, ministry in the temple, the first step in the life of Nehemiah. And chapter 8, verse 1. Then all the people were brought as the single body into the plaza that was before the water gate. They said to Ezra the scribe, bring out the Torah scroll of Moses that Adonai had commanded Israel. Verse 5. Ezra opened the scroll in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed Adonai, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. As they lifted up of their hands, then they bowed down and worshipped Adonai with their faces to the ground. Verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the Kohen scribe, and the Levites who were teaching the people said to all the people, today is Kadosh, holy to Adonai your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping when they heard the words of the Torah. It was the spiritual revival. They were weeping. It was deep in their hearts. The Lord touched them. Verse 14. They found written in the Torah that Adonai had commanded through Moses that Bnei Israel should dwell in Sukkot during the feast of the seventh month. This is why I'm reading it right now, because it is a feast of Sukkot. The entire assembly, verse 17, who had returned from the captivity, made Sukkot and dwelt in the Sukkot. Since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the day Bnei Israel had not done so. And the joy was very great. Verse 18. Day after day, from the first day of the to the last day, he read from the scroll of the Torah of God. So they kept the festival for 7 days. And on the eighth day, according to the regulation, there was a solemn assembly. When I read this place of Scripture, I really see the prophetic picture of our days for today. Today, our Jewish people are in spiritual slumber, far from the God of Israel and His Messiah. In a sense, the majority of the people of Israel are spiritually scattered, in captivity to their artificial traditions and unbelief. Therefore, our calling is building the wall of our prayers and our ministry. We are called to pray and to ministry. We are called to preach God's word to people and bring revival to the Jewish people and all the peoples of the earth. This is our call. Therefore, on the holiday of Sukkot, the priests brought 70 bulls for one for each tribe on earth. It was a sacrifice, a prayer for all the nations of the earth. This is also our task. The task of the priests, to pray, to build the walls. Amen. Therefore, the fourth meaning of Sukkot, one of the primary services and traditions on Sukkot, was the outpouring of living water on the altar. Pouring of water libation, in the time of the second temple. So I would like to read very short about that very interesting tradition on the time of the second temple. Whoever has not seen the celebration of the water libation has never experienced the feeling of true joy, Great lamps of gold were hoisted, with four golden bowls at the top of each lamp. Four young priests in training would climb to the top, carrying immense of oil jugs with which they would fill the bowls. Once lighted, there was not a courtyard in all of Jerusalem that did not glow with the light emanating from the temple courtyard's celebration. All Jerusalem was in the light. So interesting. On the last or great day of the feast, the water libation reached its peak. The priest circled the altar seven times and then poured the water on the altar only once a year. It was part of Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshana, which translated as save us now. So let's remember a few exciting moments here. First one, water was taken from Shiloh, in Hebrew Shiloah, which means sent. And the second one, water was poured on the altar and was mixed with the blood of the sacrifice. This water with the blood of the sacrifice was called the living waters. And now, John chapter 7, the last day of the Sukkot, the great festival of Sukkot, the very moment when the priest poured out the water on the altar. John chapter 7, verse 2, now the Jewish feast of tabernacle was near. And verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. Water mixed with the blood of the sacrifice. Now he said this about the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, whom those who trusted in him were going to receive. For the Ruach was not yet given, since Yeshua was not yet glorified. Now, when we know the history and tradition of Sukkot, Yeshua's call has a much deeper and a prophetic meaning for us today. The joy. This custom of water libation on Sukkot was a picture of the joy in the Holy Spirit. He told them in the verse 38, I am the sacrifice for you, and you will be filled with the Ruach Elohim through me, the living water. And the only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord, and experience His joy of Sukkot, and gain freedom of the Lord, is to submit your life to the Messiah Yeshua. This is the call for deeper relationships with the Lord, a call for revival in His Spirit. Nothing more important than this. Believe in Yeshua. Trust in Him. Amen. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing, as we usually do at Beth Israel, and I want to invite Cantor Aaron and Rebetzin Ina, please join me. And also, may I invite Kim, can you come please and join Aaron? Thank you so much.
Where is my wife? There she is. You'll now just close your eyes and let this prayer wash over you. I will do the Hebrew portion. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmerech. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai v'yishmerech. Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha.